Dan.
Yes.
Dan.
Oi.
Dan.
Boy, I'm right here in front of you.
Hey, everybody.
Don't have to sing in my fucking face.
Welcome to the Indie Film Review. That's Dan.
Hi, Jer Bear. Jer Bear.
No, you can't do it to me. That'll make sense.
Or right now. Maybe it won't. Maybe we shouldn't have to hold your fucking hands through this podcast, damn it.
Yeah. So mean. So that was a little bitty bit from the film we're going to watch, Polar, upcoming.
Ooh, Polar.
Yes. But first, we have to review a short film.
Oh.
Yeah.
I believe the short film in question is called It Came from the Backyard.
Oh.
You can find it on YouTube. Backyard. And here's something, guys.
Here's something.
You might want to know what came from the backyard. As one might.
Because I sure do. So this was submitted to us by David Ian Hart, I believe, because that's his name that I have in our little set list for episodes in our queue. But then if I look and it, Oh, actually, yeah. Okay. I see it now. Cause on his Twitter, it's David Ian Hart, but it's all like put together. So I guess I was reading it weird. I don't know. Cause I think it says in the actual movie, there's a different name for the director.
David Keane.
So I don't, they could be the same person. I don't know. So we're going to talk about both of those films. That's what we do here. We talk about independent film and we critically review it.
So, Jared,
that's what we do.
You threw this film at me last minute because I honestly don't remember you telling me that we should have. So I'm going to go off on a limb and say you didn't tell me. And
fuck you. Fuck you, first of all. That's my counterpoint.
But here's the deal. You threw it to me. I watched it really quick. It's a really short watch. It's easy to watch, surprisingly, for what it is. Because
there's question.
Like, yes.
What is it?
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay.
Jared, I have a pretty decent idea of what it is. I kind of enjoyed the film a lot. Like, I like the suggestive imagery. But I want to know what's going on in the mind of Jared. Because you were like, this is a fucking crazy house movie that I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know exactly what you're thinking.
Okay. So, there's like a farmer. And he looks under a car. And
there's a cat.
There's a cat. I'm like, all right. And then we cut to a different farmer who I think is supposed to be the same farmer.
It's not.
But
a
he has
farmer.
A beard now. And he has a flashback with his wife of them dancing. And then he goes into a barn.
I have a hard time believing that it's a different farmer.
And I watched it a few times and it seemed like a different actor to me. And then, I guess his wife blows his brains out or blows her brains out. And then there's like corn and then we're at the grocery store. So I don't know what's going on in this movie.
So basically the rundown of this film is the cat's kind of acting strange outside. And a farmer is like, hey kitty, what's going on? And then there's like this weird substance that's on the ground and it's like, ooh, that's what? And he
it's
kicks
like
it away.
Animal.
Yeah. He kicks it away and he goes inside and he sees his wife just tenderly washing all the dishes. And he fondly remembers dancing with her. And we have a flashback of them dancing together. And he's like, you remember, baby, when we used to dance together just like this? And she's like, yeah, I do. But then the cat interrupts them. And she's like, go check on that cat. So he does. And while he's checking
the
on the
cat, wailing of that cat is too real for me because off air I told Dan that we have an elderly cat that lives in our house and he likes to just wail for no reason. When he's hungry, when he's not hungry, when he's happy, when he's sad.
Anyway.
It's not good. You might hear him during this recording.
Who? He goes to investigate, and then he hears a gunshot from the farmhouse.
The domicile.
He returns to find that his wife has indeed blown her brains out.
Why?
No apparent reason. And whenever we cut to the supermarket, well, before we cut to the supermarket, she is not washing dishes. I forgot. She's shucking corn.
She's shucking corn, yeah.
So, you know that she's doing that. And she shoots her head, and then blood flies everywhere. And then whenever the lady is taking the corn away from the supermarket, you see there's blood on the corn. Now, the only thing that I have in my chamber that I'm about to shoot into your ear holes is that this could be a plight of a farmer, you know, in the world of GMOs and all that nonsense. Like, farming is hard work, essentially. And you don't know the blood and sweat that goes into farming. You just pick up corn at your convenience. But that does not answer the question as to why the perfectly sane, happy farmer's wife murders herself after telling the farmer to go look for the cat. It also doesn't explain the weird dead shit that we found on the ground.
What was even in the barn?
Some globules of cat piss. I don't know.
Because I couldn't see a damn thing.
Well, it was hard to see, but like there was this close-up of what looks like dead eyeballs, like dead goat eyeballs. I don't know. It was weird.
So, okay. Also,
there were a lot of really interesting throws. Like, it was, this film paid so much homage to shit that I don't think it needed to pay homage to, but it was just interesting to see it. Like, the fridge said red rum on it in blood. Like, did the wife do that? I don't understand what happened. There were a couple other, oh man, I wish I remember it all. But there were a couple other homages to horror movies that I saw, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
If that was the point, I would kind of be down for that, but usually that's just, you're distracting me, and now I'm thinking of other films, and I should be thinking of your film. But I will say, I liked a lot of the camera work in this movie.
Oh, yeah, no.
I like the special effects.
The abstractness of this film is, it's pretty awesome. Like, I liked all the imagery.
The abstractnicity of our city, of our city.
No. What do you own, the world? How do you own disorder?
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Thank you for humoring me on that one. I'll just start singing that song, and I haven't heard it in like a decade, and I'll just start singing it in my brain.
I've listened to it all the fucking time. I love it.
Well, you're a hashtag cool guy, so I understand
that. I play guitar, bro. I'm in a band, motherfucker.
Do you even strum, bro? But yeah, I liked all that. I will say the audio mix was a little weird, because like the music would like come in and it would like cut off.
Audio mixing is something that I tend to forgive in micro-budget movies because audio engineering is one of the hardest fucking things ever, in my opinion. Uh-huh. Like, engineering is harder than making a film, harder than editing together film.
For sure. So yeah, an interesting film. Confusing for me. That's all. That's basically what I'll have to say on that.
That's it. Moving on.
Well, I mean, you can like stay, I guess.
Listeners, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that film.
The film can hang around. Like, we don't want people to just immediately exit. But
you know. Well, that's what you do whenever you watch a film. You go in, you come out, and the film goes away too. The film stays there? No, the film has a wife and kids to go home to.
Is that what happens when you watch your online documentaries, Dan? You go in and you come out? Crickets. All right, so the next film we watched was Polar.
Polar.
So, Dan, this is a cool little indie film that got suggested to us by someone with a name, Drew Horner.
Drew Horner.
So, Dan, please give us a 30-second elevator pitch.
Why, most certainly, sir. A retiring assassin suddenly finds himself on the receiving end of a hit, contracted by one other than his own employer seeking to cash in on the pensions of aging employees. Starring Mads Mikkelsen.
No, Dan, that's not right.
Did I not watch the right film?
No, so we watched Polar, and that
Yes,
that
I watched is... Polar, 2019.
Yeah, and I watched Polar, 2019.
Jared, I don't think you're understanding. I watched this movie called Polar. That is what the synopsis is.
No, you're supposed to watch Polar, not Polar.
How was I supposed to know the difference?
How are you not getting this through your thick head? Jesus. Oh, gosh. I'll send you the right Polar, since you're at the polar opposite of where you need to be. Crickets, crickets. There's a lot of crickets I have to add into... So many crickets. I don't think there's enough crickets in the world for this episode. All right, so you have the real synopsis now. Please give us the actual 30-minute elevator pitch.
It's essentially the downward spiral of this dude, and it gets more sad as the film goes.
Yeah, alcoholism comes to mind.
It's like he basically self-medicates all of his depression away. And tries to, you know, be a citizen in the world and get, like, a girl and shit. And you just watch him fail at every step of the way. And it is entertaining to watch, I would say. It does not make you feel good, but it doesn't make you feel bad either.
I think it's self-described as, like, a mumblecore drama.
Yeah, very mumblecore.
And it is all about that main character... who I believe it's Robin.
Yeah, Robin.
In this story, and his buddy Steve. And then there's this girl that he kind of flirts with on and off throughout the film, Daisy. So this is kind of like all the main characters. And it seems like a lot of his problems are his drinking.
Seems like a lot of his problems come directly from him just being him. Now, I have a theory.
Well, he's a mess.
I have a theory.
He's a mess. Yeah.
As to why they call this movie Polar.
Oh, okay. I'd like to hear that, because I didn't get the deal with that.
I think he's only showing one side of his manic depression. In other words, he's just a crazy depressed person. So instead of being bipolar, he's just polar. I could be wrong. But that's what made sense to me, because he exhibits all these strange behaviors that a bipolar person would. He just doesn't have the downtime. He just has I'm up and doing shit and the world is fucking me over constantly. I could be wrong.
Robin's character is literally the polar opposite of Mads Mikkelsen with an eye patch.
Yes. He has an anti-eye patch.
That's an astute observation. Yeah. What is an anti-eye patch? It's someone with two eyes that work. Okay? 2020 vision.
Hey, 2020. It's 2020 now.
Yeah, I know.
I got 2020 vision, not 2019 vision, my friend.
See, we make jokes that don't date the podcast. So, all right, let's get into this. Little candy-covered.
Jared, candy? I believe you want to start with questions and ask me a question, because I would like to answer the question.
Yes.
And you would like to answer my question.
Did you think this movie was funny?
I have to be honest and say no. I have to be honest and say no. The only part that I thought was hilarious was the opening bit where he's singing his name, and that made me laugh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I have to admit that the reason why I feel like the reason why I didn't think it was funny is because I had this little tiny thought in my head. I'm like, what if this is the funniest movie I've ever seen? And because I had that thought, I was disappointed.
Oh, the high expectations.
Yeah.
No, I totally get that. Also, it's worth noting that both of these films, the short film and this film, are like either micro budget or zero budget.
No,
like,
I believe Polar is
like a no budget movie.
Yeah, it's no budget whatsoever. But the film is entertaining. I was very much enthralled with seeing how everything pans out, even though the fucking main character is a tool that I hate. I wanted to see where he went. Like, it was yeah. weird.
So I actually thought this movie was funny in some... I mean, it's not like a laugh out loud. I wasn't, like, falling on the ground laughing, but there was a lot of times where I was laughing.
Well, there were it was a lot some of the premises were silly. I will give you that.
And it's more about how awkward and fucked up things get. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he gets in these weird situations.
I typically like really awkward humor. It didn't tickle my awkward bone, if that makes sense. I don't know. It's
your
weird.
Awkward bone? Is your awkward bone just your penis? Be honest. okay. Ask me a question, Dan.
Okay. I would say that the acting was great, but how did you feel about the chemistry between most of the characters?
I actually thought it was really good. I liked the acting in this movie. I liked the friendship between Robin and Steve, and like how Steve keeps like making Robin do some dumb shit. Because he's kind of like his, like, fuck-up friend. Because
uh-huh.
It's interesting, because they seem like they were really good friends back in the day. And yeah. then Robin went away for, like, a year. But we don't know what happened. And then when he comes back, he's still all fucked up. And you're like, oh, I want to know what's really wrong with Robin. Like, that was the thing I really wanted to figure out. Because, like, I want him to heal and, like, fix himself and, like, work on himself, you know? But it feels like he's like, chasing women... And drinking and doing drugs and not focusing on himself. And I kind of wish the movie tackled that more.
Right.
But the journey along the way with all of his interactions, I thought were really, like, I don't think any of the actors did a bad job. Like, I wasn't distracted by
No, and especially Drew Horner. Like, he had a very difficult role, I think. Like, the character mm-hmm. of Robin... He's playing a person who is spiraling downward, doesn't know what's going on with his life, is very upset with the fact that his life is spiraling downward and he doesn't know why, and he can't fix things. Everything he tries to fix just mm-hmm. blows up in his face.
Yeah. And it does kind of get annoying because, like, Drew is like, I can't get any girls. Oh, what's wrong with me? And he's like, everyone's pretty good looking in this movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, come on. And all the women throw themselves at him in this film, which is even more annoying. And he's like, I just can't make it with a girl. And it's just...
Well, because he's so involved in his own nonsense. Like
he's self-absorbed and
a shit ton.
And negative.
And he smokes weed a shit ton. He does cocaine. And he's so involved in his music project. That he can't, mm-hmm. he has tunnel vision.
Yes. He's really involved with what he's doing. He thinks what everyone else is doing is shitty and lame. And that's like repellent to anyone you ever meet. Like if someone's like, hey, I like this. And he's like, I hate that. You're like, okay, I guess we're done talking. And he even does that on that date that he goes on. Okay, so we'll start spoiling the movie now. And if you want to watch this film, it's on Amazon Prime. I definitely recommend it. It's a nice little mumblecore
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, no, exactly. If you're a fan of mumblecore, you'll definitely get really behind this film. It's the conflicts in this movie may fly by you at certain moments. Like, just the film doesn't stop. We'll just put it that way. Like, it has a progression, a very clear progression, and it doesn't stop for anything along the way. And a lot of the times, you might get whisked away by something. You'd be like, what the fuck is going on? And then the scene plays out, and you realize what's happening. Like, I'm talking about whenever he and Steve get into a fight. At first, I'm like, what the fuck is Steve beating the shit out of him for?
Oh,
and then
okay,
as that
well,
scene progressed, I'm like, oh, okay, there's a reason behind it.
I don't think I was ever really lost like that, because I feel like they set that up pretty well of, like, he did something at that party that was not cool.
Mm.
I loved how in this movie, all of Steve's friends kind of just smirk and make fun of Robin.
Yeah.
For, like, all his
pretentious, which, okay,
shitty stuff that he says and does.
Dude, here, this, you just made me have an epiphany. The reason why I like this film is because I have never seen a film where the main character is a dude that nobody likes.
Yeah.
Like, in the narrative. Like and you know, like, it's exactly what you said. It's Steve's good friend from a while ago, but Robin is the friend that you like, you know, he does shit, but you're like, come on, it's Robin. I mean,
yeah,
that dude. So it's a film about that fucking dude.
Yes.
Like, and well, I've never seen a film that does that.
He's your friend from when, like, middle school.
Yeah.
And now it's like, he's kind of, it's, you're in a new age of being an adult, and he's still there in middle school. You know, it's weird. It's like, he's still kind of, it's this weird hangers-on type of, it's like, he's still with the dinosaurs. It's bizarre. And what's also interesting, too, is, like, other people, like, still drink and get crazy, but they also have careers, and they're semi-taking care of themselves. But he is just a total 100% fuck up.
And sometimes I have weeks where I do that.
Oh.
Because fuck work. I'll drink when I want to.
That's right. Day drinking.
Yeah, I'll drink at work.
A lot of the stuff that goes on in this film is stuff I like. With the drinking, I mean, like, stuff you would do when you're younger. When you're, like, a younger dude with not a lot of cares in the world. Maybe you're still in, like, college or whatever. But, like, this dude's still doing it.
So, let's talk a little bit about what Robin does on a daily basis. He wakes up or doesn't wake up.
Yeah.
All he does in his free time is he smokes pot, drinks a lot, and works on music and listens to music.
And that music is... not good.
Yeah. Now, he needs money, so his friend Steve sets him up with a job where all he has to do is stand there and tell people where to go, and he can't even do that.
I thought he just left that job. I didn't even think he actually did the job. Oh, so that was actually implied that he...
I think that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe not. Because the film does jump every once in a while where I'm like, okay, we're here now.
It jumps to him right on that train, and then he starts hitting on that girl. I was like, did he just leave the job? What the fuck? I mean, but we don't need to see him doing his job.
Steve hires him again. So I'm assuming maybe he didn't leave the job.
So we have all that going on. Let's talk about his, like, relationship stuff. Because relationships are really a big thing in this movie. And it's about, like... I think this movie is really about, like, people who complain, like, oh, I can't get a girl. It's guys. It's guy-related, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't get a girl. If I get a girl, that's what's really going to make me happy, blah, blah, blah. Why aren't girls, like, I used to be good with girls, whatever, whatever, and now he's nervous or he's shitty or whatever. And it's, you got to think about, like, he's not focusing on himself. Like, he has no job, he's no career, he's no prospects, he lives in a shithole, he's a fucking alcoholic, he's addicted to drugs, he's worthless, he has no value to women, but yet somehow... women throw themselves at him all the time in this movie.
Well, okay, so the very first...
but, like, he needs to work on himself before he can
Let's talk about this train scene. This train scene was probably one of the hardest scenes for me to watch because I just couldn't. I just put myself in this girl's shoes, and I'm like, I would punch this guy.
But she's into it, though. That's the funny thing.
So, basically, he... is just looking around the train. He sees this pretty girl, and then he just brazenly goes up to her... and is like, hey, yo. And you're trying to get, like, why would you do that? And then the whole time is just like, I'm going to attempt to talk to you, and it's going to fall within 2 seconds, and then I'm going to stand around awkwardly for 30 seconds before I think of something new to talk to you about.
I was shaking my head the whole time Dan was saying that. And like, yeah, but that's the charm of this movie, the weird awkwardness. Because normally if you were to interrupt a lady... on the subway with headphones in, they're not going to be too happy to talk to you.
Exactly.
And just because this woman was still engaging with him, you're like, okay, you have to get this lady's number. Because, like, and then that's what kind of got annoying for me is, like, he kept meeting that girl. And I'm like, just get this girl's number. She's obviously wants to go out with you, even though you were an insane alcoholic getting drunk in the park.
And then
in the middle of day.
And then he doesn't. Like, we end on him maybe getting the girl, maybe going back in and being like, hey, I'll see you around the grocery store, I guess.
He at least sobers up. He at least, there's a scene with him drinking water and he sits in the park and, like, a day passes and he sobers up. So I think it's implying that he's trying to stop, trying to get his life together. But I like how ambiguous they make it. I know. But I like how ambiguous they make it.
I did like the ambiguity. Mm-hmm. I normally do like ambiguity a lot. So I did like the ambiguity, but in this case, I don't know. I wanted some form of, maybe not. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, just, I wanted some form of resolution whenever I was watching it. But now that I'm seeing it retrospectively, I feel like the ambiguity of the end works really well.
It's interesting because in most films, you have that three-act structure. And usually, like, act two is their lowest point. Yeah. And then they have to, like, build up from there to the climax. But in this movie, every point is his lowest point.
Exactly.
It keeps going lower, and there's no third act. It's just him being a failure the entire time. The third act is like the last 1 minute of this movie. It's strange. But that didn't hurt the movie to me. It's like, that's kind of like, you're just following the journey of this fucked up dude. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what the real message is. I guess there doesn't have to be one.
Well, I mean, there doesn't have to be one, and it really tackles really heavy subjects like drug use and abuse, passion,
relationships.
I think relationships are a big one. Just self-medication and relationships are really where this film has its fingers in its pie. You know what I mean?
That one scene where he does the beer guitar thing when he's at the party.
Oh, God.
He shows up at the party already hammered. And
yeah, there's a whole montage of him getting fucked. Like, proper fucked. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, what is happening? And then the very next scene, you see him with a beer in hand coming up to this guy's house. I'm like, has time passed? Or is he still
insane.
Fucked up?
Yeah, it's so insane.
And then he's at the party, he gets cocaine from somebody.
Oh, gosh.
It's crazy.
And then he's like playing air guitar on this beer, and then he pops the beer open and sprays it on everyone, falls down on his ass, and that somehow gets him to talk with this attractive woman.
All the other girls are like, you're a fucking dick. And then one girl's just like,
oh, he's artistic. Ooh, he likes to create things. I like to create things. And I'm like, what kind of universe are we living in? That's why it's got to be like, he's a complete failure, but he's also good enough for this girl to be like, no,
that's gonna, if I ever have a divorce, my new strategy for picking up a mate is just to be a complete dickwad to everybody. Yeah,
just spray beer in people's face, sit in the park, drink alone in the middle of the day, and catcall women, because apparently that works. And show off your chest hair, too. You really gotta show off that real nice,
yeah, Drew Horner has manly some big hair. Old chest hair that I was not too sad about looking at.
He's a real man.
It did make me jealous quite a bit.
No.
I used to know people who were that hairy.
Yeah.
I don't know them anymore.
So, Dan, final thoughts. What do you think?
Final thoughts. I believe that it definitely surpasses the other 2019 Polar with Mads Mikkelsen, because I tried to get into that movie and I couldn't. And that was like a while ago. And this movie, it's easy watch. Well, no, it was a difficult watch because I didn't like the character too much. But that was done on purpose. And I feel like the entertainment of watching him spiral downward and trying to root for him was very engaging.
Mm. I thought this movie was very easy to watch. It was very watchable. I thought all the actors did a great job. Camera work, everything.
The only reason why I say it's hard for me to watch is, like, this guy is such a douchebag, and it made me uncomfortable a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Everything was very professionally done for, like, no budget.
Oh, yeah.
I do think there are, of course, when you're doing a low budget like this, there are certain scenes where they could have done a little bit of edits where it's like, we don't need to show certain characters doing every little thing, but it's such a small, like, it really wasn't that, like, I'm being very nitpicky right now with that. Like, compared to a lot of other independent films I've watched, this movie does not do that very much, if at all. But overall, I really enjoyed it. And I definitely recommend this if you like mumblecore movies, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Duplass films and whatnot. So, Hopefully you can hear my cat wailing, because that actually means the episode has ended. Gosh, cat sounds like she's dying. But that's just how the cat sounds. So thank you all for listening. I love all of you. Let's do plugs. Why not?
We are found on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. We are found on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Facebook, Indie Film Review. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Jared.
And I'm now going to start checking our spam filter, because apparently we had some submissions that went into the spam filter, and I felt real bad about it.
Well, maybe you should just stop being spam, spammers.
And if we haven't gotten your movie yet, it's because there's a lot of fucking movies we have to get through, and I'm sorry, but we're doing our best.
Yeah, we put out a call for papers, basically a call for movies, and everybody's like, watch mine! And then now there's so many, and we're like, shit, they're still coming in.
We've made a mistake.
We don't mind watching them. It's going to take a while for us to get to them. But rest assured, dear listener, we will get to yours.
Oh, no, I absolutely feel hashtag blessed that all of these people are submitting. It's just, you know, we only do one episode a week. So sometimes people have to wait and they're like, hey, are you going to do the episode? I'm like, we're going to do it. I swear. it's going to take us a while. So anyways, thank you. Thank you for all the support. If you really want to support us, tell other people about the show. I mean, rating us is great. I love reviews. Giving us a review is awesome. I really do appreciate that. But I think what really helps us is telling your friends, tell your family, tell your strangers, tell the drunk guy who's outside of your house right now, day drinking. Those are the people who need this podcast the most. You can change a life.
Yeah,
you can save a life.
Change and save a life.
That's right. A podcaster saved my life tonight.
Yes.
I don't know how that song goes. Anywho, we're on the Necropodicon. Check out Necropodicon. We really appreciate them hosting us. Join the Discord. If you go to necropodicon.com, there's a little link. You can click on the Discord and you can come talk to us.
Yeah,
it's neat.
We don't bite.
Yeah, much.
We both
that's a little
the same joke.
That's a little humor for you, you humor enthusiast. All right.
Let me just adjust my humor glasses.
Yeah, that's right. God damn it. So thank you all. I love you very much. I appreciate you. And I think about you all the time, and I hope you're okay. And Dan, you have the final word.
So, you gave out the wrong flyers.
Oh.
You had one job to sell this podcast, and you just fucking, you threw on your baby costume, and you gave out your bar flyers, and it's not the podcast flyers. We do not run a bar, Jared.
I'm Erica.
And we're your new best friends,
whether you like it or not.
Listen to Grow Out of It every Sunday to make fun of us,
as all best friends should,
while we read our old creative writing from our childhoods.
There's a first time for everything, the magnified voice replied. Mm-hmm. My name is Morgus, and I will destroy you.
Classic Morgus.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.